tell you, it is great to be back and running on fumes. I'm just kidding. Alright, so I want to share one thought from exposure. And that is that whatever we do with not us, it's for God's glory. And it's something that stuck with me, and I want to just let you guys also know to keep Hunter in your prayers. He went forward Saturday evening and asked for prayers and for forgiveness. And I know we've got a great group of young men and young ladies that they can conquer the world if they put their minds to it. And I know us as a church can do this as well. This evening we are going to wrap up our series on who do you think you are. And when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to jump right into the Scriptures. And we're going to turn to Mark chapter 2, verse 17. And we're going to look there for just a moment, because I want you to listen to these two Scriptures we're going to look at. They're going to be on the screen as well. But Mark chapter 2, verse 17 is the first one. And it says, "And when Jesus heard it, He said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners.'" He said, "I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but I call the sinners to repentance." And in Luke 5, verse 32, it reiterates this statement. He says, "I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And because we know who we are, and we've been studying these series, and we've been studying these topics, and when we know who we are, we'll know what to do. Now, so who do we think we are? If we remind ourselves as Christians, then we know that we are this. If you are a Christian, then you are a committed follower of Christ. You are committed to Christ because you made your effort to do that. You decided you're going to commit your life to Christ when you decide to say, "I want to become a Christian, a baptized believer." You know, God has called you to be a change agent if you're a Christian. You're going to bring the change within the world. You're going to bring the difference. You're going to be a difference maker. We could put it that way as well. And if you're a Christian, you're a divine influence into this world. And if you're taking notes, when we think about who do we think you are, Jesus says, as we read in the Scripture, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. And big, massively important statement here to think about. Because we're not just the salt of our community or the light of our city, but we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And I want us to realize something when those who are in Christ this evening, and so we will know what to do. And Jesus said it that way in Matthew 5, verse 13. He says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. It gives light to all that those are in the houses, all who are in the houses." In verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So in the statement there, we see you are the salt of the earth. And that's what we're going to start with. He said, "But if salt loses flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing to be trampled on." It's basically we see here in the Scripture, to trampled underfoot by men. You're the salt of the earth. And you may say, well, what does that mean? Is that a good thing when we think about it? Because it'd be kind of weird to be called you're the pepper of the earth, or you're the oregano of the earth. But he uses the idea of salt because back in those days, salt was very consistent with doing a lot of things. And so that's what we're going to look at in context. As Jesus is speaking here, and his listeners would have known what salt was used for. And it's the second most important thing that was used within a commodity on the earth then. The sun, as we know, everybody believed was number one, though. So, and the salt was number two because all it could do back then, within refrigeration and then all the modern conveniences. So, in fact, ancient Rome, people were often paid in labor. When they did labor, they were paid in salt. And that's how valuable it was. At the end of the day, you would have received salt, and that's where they would get their phrase, "He's not worth his salt." And if you've ever heard that before, it's because people were actually paid in that. And Jesus says that's what you are, what you and I are. And it just doesn't mean that we're just the salt of the earth person. In today's world, it often means you're a really good boy, or you're a really good old boy. So Jesus says that that's what we are. And what he's really saying, you're a really old boy that changes his attitude. And then when you become the salt of the earth, when you realize and you claim that, then you become more than just the seasonings we think about. So, think about this. What does salt do? Here's a few things if you're taking notes. Excuse me. Because we are a light, we don't run from the darkness. And I jumped ahead on the scripture. All right, so the world needs salt because it's impure. The world needs salt because of these things. But first of all, we know that salt, it preserves things, right? If you're a Christian, we should be the divine preserver. We should be able to reach out and help to preserve someone's mind and preserve someone's life by reaching out and teaching them about Christ for eternal life and to live forever with God in heaven. What else does salt do? Salt, it purifies. In a very impure world, we should be the agent of purification, representing the kingdom of God and its holiness in a very impure world. And then another is the world needs light and salt because salt also creates a thirst. And we, many of us know that. If we have a bag of peanuts and we start snacking on those, we've got to go grab a drink real quick. So salt creates a thirst. And as a Christian, when you know you're so full of God's transforming love, you'll create a divine thirst for others to know about Christ. And they'll think, well, what is it about you? What makes you so special? Or what is it that's drawing me to you? Why are you so full of joy? And I want what you have, they may think. Salt creates a thirst, and salt, it also melts. I know Miss Sue, when we've talked a little while back, she told me about when the ice came a little while back, and she got out there with some salt trying to get the ice out of her area at her house and things like that. If we've ever had to deal with a snowstorm, we've ever had to deal with ice, really. We don't know about snowstorms in the South. But an ice storm and the pathway is icy, then we throw some salt on it, and it hopefully will go away. And that same way, we have the warmth and the love of God. It can melt the hearts that are hard and cold and soften those things to hear for those ears that may not be listening. And finally, what does salt do? It heals. If you ever get in the ocean and you've got a scratch or a scar or a boo-boo, if you've ever used that phrase, then we know that when you get salt water in it, what does salt water do? It speeds up the healing process at times. In that same way, when we're filled with the Spirit of God and we can be a healing agent in this world by reaching out and being the example, being those that have been hurt by religion and by those things or been turned away by God, we can do those things. We're the salt of the earth, and I want us to internalize that. I am the salt of the earth. And what else are we? In verse 14 we saw, you are the light of the world. And the world needs light because the world is dark. You are the salt of the whole earth, as we saw. You are the light of the entire world. And so when we see this, when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. So we are in Matthew 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And so when he goes on to say, he says this, and he's talking again in the context that everyone would have understood what he's saying in a Palestinian home. They all had this one window. And at the end of the day, they would have had to light their candle. And so they could have this little hole so it could breathe. And imagine if that's all we had. If we had one candle in this auditorium. Or if we had one light in this whole auditorium, lighting up the thing. This whole auditorium in those ways. They'd have to have to light their candles. And you can imagine without a lighter or a match. So how difficult could we imagine that would be? So they get to spend their time getting the candle lit. And if you ever have to leave, they would take a bowl. They would have a hole in the bottom. And they turn it upside down on that candle. And then they would have it there to protect it from blowing out. So we think he's saying when you are in a house and you don't ever do that, and you see that's what the focus is here. That's because they want to benefit from the light. When you have to hold on to the light, you have to preserve the light. So as Christians, we don't ever need to cover up our light. We need to be able to let it shine. In Matthew 5, verse 16, as we saw, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. In that same way, we should be the opportunity to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth and you're the light of the world. And as we said, the world needs salt because it's impure. And the world needs light because of all the darkness that surrounds us. When we know who we are, we'll know what to do. And because we are the light, we don't run from darkness. We shine into it. And because of this,
because you are salt, you don't run from the impurities. God uses you as an agent of change. And so when we think about this, you and I are the salt of the earth. You and I are the light of the world. You are and I are a Christ-empowered influencer, and our life will make a difference to someone. So when we think about and internalize this, that's who we are. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. And if we're a Christian, we're a Christ-powered influencer. And our lives can and will make a difference if we claim who we are through Christ. And you might say tonight, well, I don't feel like I can make a difference, or I don't feel like I can do anything, or it doesn't matter what I do. I don't feel like it, you may say. Well, it doesn't matter when we feel like that, because that's who we are. If we allow Scripture to empower us, and we allow Scripture and God's Word to tell us that, but then you think and you doubt because, well, I need to learn my Bible more. Well, I need to do this before I can do that. We've set ourselves up for prerequisites to think that we're never going to be adequate enough. But that's who we are. Scripture says if you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, you are those things. And I want to give you just two motivating statements this evening from Scripture. And I pray that it'll help to drive this truth deep within our hearts. You're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And number one this evening is this. As the light, we are going to learn to let our light shine. We are going to let it shine. So as Christians, we don't ever want to force our light to shine. Because if we do, somebody's going to look at us and they're going to be like, well, what is he doing this for? Is it just for attraction or zeal or an ego? Or is he doing things? Because if we're forcing our light to shine instead of just allowing it to shine, then we're not doing it for God's glory. We're doing it for man's glory or our own glory. And that's not as a Christian because of God. What God has done when we realize who he is to us as a father, it's just a natural overflow of doing what God did for us to others. And in Acts chapter 16, that's where we're going to look at, because I want to show the favorite example of two guys who just had their salt and light, and they were living and they impacted the world with this. Their names were Paul and Silas, and they had been transformed by Christ. And I mean miraculously transformed when we think about it. And so everywhere they went, they were telling people about Christ. Everywhere they went, they were telling about our Savior. And so the religious authorities didn't think what they were doing. They didn't like it at all. And so they said they had to do something to stop it. And so they would arrest them and beat them and arrest them and beat them over and over and over again. But Paul and Silas wouldn't stop. And then there's this little introductory part of the story. It basically says that they were stripped and they were flogged and put into prison with their legs in stocks. And so you're typically, if we're thinking, if you're like me and you just read over that, okay, you know, they've had a pretty bad day within Acts chapter 16 with the Scripture. And we see they've had a pretty gruesome day. But I want to pause for a moment and think about how bad that was. They were stripped. Okay, imagine in public you were stripped and made a mockery of. They were beaten and flogged. It's very likely that they would have been whipped about 38 or 39 times across their back. They would have had glass and rock embedded within it. And it was designed, as we know when we talk about the Savior and how He was whipped and flogged, that it was designed to rip man's flesh and to possibly even open up to our internal organs. And so they were stripped down naked and they were whipped. Then they were put in a dungeon and their legs were put in stocks. And typically, you know, okay, we know that's what happened to them because they were doing the work of the Lord. But that's what would you do is they'd take their legs, kind of like a wishbone. And you know, they would make that, and basically, you know how a wishbone would snap? They would have their legs and those stocks extended about that much. And so they really had a really gruesome and awful day, as we recall and we see here. So what do you think Paul and Silas were doing on that day? In Acts chapter 16, verse 25, we're going to look there and see. Because in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, it shows that even regardless through the things that you face, even regardless through the things that they were going through, all the beating and all the flogging and all the things they faced, says here, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So after all they had faced, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, they were singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. It's pretty amazing to think about how they were, because just because of who they were, they were letting their light shine, regardless of the circumstances they were in. And I can guarantee they didn't have just an emergency meeting right before they went to prison, or they whispered, "Hey, we're going to do this because we can." They literally just did it because they knew they needed to let their light shine. And so they thought, okay. They may have thought, okay. They weren't thinking either, "Oh no, I know, we'll go into prison and we'll have a Bible study." Or, "I know, oh, we'll go do this." They didn't think about that at all. They just knew that they needed to be an example. And, you know, they may have not even thought either, "Hey, let's quote scripture. Let's quote memory verses to them. Allow them to learn." They didn't think about any of that because they didn't go through any of that because it's simply who Paul and Silas were. And because of who they were, they let their light shine. And it's a bit like if you've ever seen the moon, and the moon is just beautifully shining bright. And we're just thinking, a couple weeks ago, there was a bright moon. If you saw it, literally, it didn't even look like it was nighttime yet. So when we think about this, just because when we get a little technical about the moon, why is it really bright? It's not bright because of the moon. It's bright because of the sun. The sun is bright, and what's the moon doing? Well, the moon is simply reflecting the sun. And it's amazing how God uses creation, and God uses so many things to show us how we should be through His creation. Just as the moon is reflecting the sun, then we should be reflecting the other sun. We should be reflecting the sun, the S-O-N. And in your case, the sun, as we reflect Him, and the others around us, well, they may say, "Wow, I see a light that I've never seen before. I see a glimpse of a life that I would love to know more about." And you know, oftentimes I think about our VBS song that we've sung, or oftentimes we've sung as a kid, "This Little Light of Mine." And you know, we sing it and we think about, okay, I'm going to let it shine. And then it says, "Hide it under a bushel." And our reaction is, "No." And then it says, "Hide it under a bushel." No, we say, "No, we shouldn't do it." In other words, Paul, he could have said something, he said, like he did elsewhere. He said, "I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel. I'm not going to hide who I am because I went to prison." And he basically, "I'm going to confess publicly anywhere and everywhere I go because I'm not ashamed of my Savior. I'm not ashamed of Christ." And he would basically say, "I would not ever hide my faith. I would never put it under a bowl or light, over the light anywhere, everywhere, or at any time. And you and I are going to know who we stand for, because we know when we become a child of God, we know who stood for us. And when He took the place of Barabbas, and He took our place at the cross. And then often when we sing "This Little Light of Mine," we also get to the point, don't let Satan it out. And so when we think about it, there's two reasons our light should be shining if you're a Christian. And there's two reasons if they're not. And that is, if we're not letting our light shine, you're hiding it. And I pray if you're hiding it tonight that you would take it out from under that bowl, or you would take it out from under that bushel. Or Satan's overpowering you is the second point this evening about that. Because if Satan's overpowering you, he's blowing that light out that we said, don't let Satan it out. Because if we allow him to do that, he's going to take away the fire. He's going to take away the light. And we need to allow ourselves to reignite ourselves in the fire in our hearts. And we're going to allow to let it shine as it finishes out in that song. Anywhere, all around the neighborhood, as the verses say. And that's who we are if we're a Christian. And when we think about that, well, yes, I'm a Christian, I go to church on Sunday, but no, we should also think about, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I have to live that all through the week as well. And when we think about it also, I have been transformed by Him. Anywhere and all the time, we should be able to think about He's in the front of our minds, and we should think about what can we do to better let our light shine, to better let the joy that we know from our Savior be shared with others. Because we love God and we trust God, and it's just a natural overflow of what He's done for us. And let's look on in Acts chapter 16, verse 26. And so we see here, suddenly there was a great earthquake, and so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosened. So suddenly there was this violent earthquake, and all the foundations were shaken, as we recall. And then we think about this one. The sleeping on the job, as we recall, was the jailer. He woke up and he saw the prison doors, as we saw. And he thought about, okay, great. Things are not going my way. Things are suddenly awful because everyone's loosened. The doors are open. And he publicly was thinking to himself, I've got to execute myself because I've allowed people to escape. But as we see, In Acts chapter 16, verse 28, it says, "But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.'" But Paul, he shouted, "Don't harm yourself. Don't do that, because we are all still here." Now, that's pretty amazing on some levels, because in several levels, because if God had broken us out of prison, I think chances are we'd be pretty good to be thinking we wouldn't be, we'd probably be trying to get out. And you'd basically be, "I'm out of here, I'm done, I'm going to get out of here," if God had done that. But the jailer was the guy who put him in there, is what Paul, he's the guy who did that to his legs. He's the bad guy, he's in the darkness. And just to think we would want to run on out. But then that's what so many of us as Christians, and sometimes when it happens, so many of us Christians, we judge in the way of some of these ideas. We judge by the darkness that we already see. We judge by the darkness that they see around them. Or we judge by the darkness that they've surrounded themselves with. We judge by the music that they listen to. We judge by their habits. We judge by their appearance. We judge by who they've been associated with. We judge by where they hang out. And we judge because they aren't like us. So when we think about this, when we think about all these opportunities, we judge because of the darkness that's surrounded by them, or the secular music, or the alcohol they may have drunk, or the tattoo wearing, or the spiky hair, or the sinners that may be somewhere, that we judge them because of the places that they go. And then we think about ourselves, we're going to run from the darkness, we're going to stay away from the darkness, but that's something we shouldn't run from. We should allow ourselves to be the light in that darkness. When those people are doing those things, be the example. When you let your light shine, and that's what Paul and Silas did, they stuck around and they said to the guy that they didn't want to see any harm. And so, "Hey, don't hurt yourself, we're still here." And what did they do? They showed love for the jailer. They basically were being the salt and light we're talking about this evening. And I know probably some of you are thinking this evening, "Well, I want to be the salt and the light, but I don't know enough yet. I mean, I need to know more before I can." And here's the deal. Most people don't care how much you know. Most people care because they want to know how much you care. They know, as a Christian, that you know the plan, you know the idea, you know the life of Christ, you know the gospel, you know things, but they want to know how much you care to share with them about the Savior. And when you care, you minister to people in such a profound way. And that's what they did. They simply loved on this guy. They simply reached out to this man and they said, "Hey, don't hurt yourself. We're still here. It's okay. We didn't leave. We're still here." And we pull ourselves back a few steps and we realize that in the auditorium, we realize that the building here, it's not for us to be here to show others that we know so much or we are so intelligent when it comes these ways. But it's to show and treat this place like we've said before, it's a hospital. It's a place for us, as we said in the first scripture, that those that need the physician come to. And that those that need help come to. And we shift our mindset, we decide to just pray like crazy, or we shift our mindset and we think about all those people and we just love on them, or we pray for them, then we're allowing ourselves to be changed as well. So when they went to their parties, people would drink water and they'd get sloshed, and there was a lot of things. But when we think about what can we better do to be a part of the darkness, we have to allow ourselves to intermingle at times, to allow ourselves to be a part of it, to reach out. To not partake or to take advantage in it or do things with it, but to be a light within it. But then you think, well, it's darkness. Why would I want to be surrounded or be around things like that? It's an impurity. But you and I, we're an undercover agent, a change agent, working on to bring people the love of God, bringing them the message of our Savior, and to let them know what Christ did for them. And that's who we are. And the second thing this evening is, we need to understand that you are the salt and light living. And it will change life, or it changes our lives. And we understand this, and that's what we need. We need to realize that we're not just this dormant thing, but we're literally salt and light living on the earth to share. And that's exactly what happened in Acts chapter 16, verse 29. It said, "Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas." So the jailer called for the lights, and he rushed in, and he fell trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them and asked, The most powerful and biggest and most complimented question anyone could ever ask. Basically, he said, I've seen your life, I've seen your faith, and I've seen your unwavering passions. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? In Acts 16, verse 31, it says, So they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. And basically, he was saying, I want what you have. I want this because you've created a thirst. And so when we think about it, I've seen you worship when you shouldn't be worshiping, he was thinking. I've heard you preach when you were told to stop. I've seen your God act. I've seen it. And now I want to be a part of it. I want to know more. What must I do to have what you have? And so they said there, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so you will be saved, you and your household. And just to think about our series that we've talked on for a little while, to think about the ideas. When we call upon His name, we become a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. Call on Him and you will become God's masterpiece created in Christ Jesus if you're called to do good works which God has prepared in advance for you and I to do. When we call on Him, we'll become an overcomer, as we talked about last week, by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. And then finally, when we call on Him, we become His ambassador, God's highest ranking diplomat sent from heaven to earth. When you become the salt of the earth and you become the light of the world, when you call on Him, your life will never be the same. And when we internalize this, when we take charge, when we take it and run with it, then we become so much more than what we have been. When you know Him, you don't just go to church. When you know Him, you don't just walk through these doors. When you know Him, you just can't stop wanting to know more about Him. And oftentimes when we find that salt and light, it works over a period of time. It doesn't just happen, hey, I'm the salt of the earth, I want to share something with you, and it happens that day that someone wants to become a Christian. Or I'm the light of the world and I want to go reach out and share my light. It doesn't happen that day when you go and tell someone about Christ. It's a process. And it's going to take time for the salt and the light to be around those and to share with those. I know when I worked at Walmart on third shift, it was the opportunity to work with coworkers that oftentimes they didn't have the influence, having examples, and they would respect me in the way that they wouldn't cuss or wouldn't say things like that. But when I worked with them, they come to grow to understand and respect that I was a child of God, and they wanted to know more because I developed an opportunity to share with them just by being who Christ wants us to be. And even opportunities as a cashier, even opportunities in your job and your workplaces, there are opportunities for us to let our light shine. Some of you, you've gotten somebody you've given up onto possibly a long time ago. But we shouldn't give up because salt and light, love and grace should be running through our veins as Christ did. Not running from the darkness, but shining into it with the love of Christ. And that's who God created you and I to be. And He can use us to make a difference. And here's what's so amazing about the story of the jailer. They were in Philippi, and many people believe that it was a single event that brought about the birth of the whole church in Philippi. Two people sharing with one guy whose whole family was changed that overflowed into a church. And that's what you call the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We're not just a regular Christian who goes to church and believes the moral things. But we're more than that. We're a divine change agent. We want to do more than just do that. We are an undercover influencer. We want to share more. There's times when you work behind the scenes and there's times where you shine so bright that everyone wants to know more about it. God has created you and I, and that's who we are, to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And we're a Christ-powered influencer who's going to make a difference if we allow ourselves to know who we are. And tonight I want everyone that has not claimed that, to have the opportunity this evening to claim that. Because God wants you to become a child of God, to become a light, to become an example for Him on this earth while you dwell here. To none of those who might say, well, I want to be the salt, I want to be the light, I want to be a great influence in the world, and you've not made a commitment to Christ, then why not make that commitment tonight? Or tonight, if you feel like you've allowed your flame to run out, and you've allowed yourself to teeter, or you've allowed yourself to let your flame or your light be dim. And it may be that you're struggling also in Think about the moments that you may know others in your family, maybe your wife, your son, your daughter, or your brother, your sister, or someone you may have met back in college, or someone you see at the gym, your office, a boss, or someone that may be struggling with this, or they're struggling with knowing who Christ is. Think about those. Think about everyone around us. Because if we're going to be the light of the world, then we've got to think about those people. We've got to share with those people. And I want us to think about that. Even so, tonight, that many of us know we're the salt of the earth and we're the light of the world, it's okay for us to falter. It's okay for us to admit that we're broken at times. It's okay to admit that we've struggled. Because God didn't say that, hey, I want every one of us that's in the church to be a saint that's glorified and always praising in a hall of fame for this to be a building like that. He wanted us to be a part of a hospital, a part of a place where sinners can come and repent, sinners can come and feel welcome, sinners can come and be a part of a family to where we're all reaching toward the main goal. And so when we think about that this evening, if you're struggling as a Christian, at Exposure we dealt with the topics of it's so awesome to be a Christian. We hear those all day, every day, about great things about being an awesome Christian. But then it's hard to be a Christian was our Friday night topics. And you know, you may struggle with addiction. You may struggle with things that are of this world. You may struggle with something that's keeping you from your relationship with God this evening. And all He wants you to know is that Jesus and Him, they welcome you with broken lives. They welcome you if you feel broken this evening, because He wants you to know that He doesn't care if you think you've got it all together. He cares that you want to know and mend and fix if you feel broken this evening. And I've asked Brother John to lead a song in just a moment. And if you're struggling in your walk with Christ, why not let us help you this evening and pray for you? Or if you've not become a Christian and child of God, why not come this evening and make that effort and become a child of God and start letting your light shine? Whatever your need may be, why not come as we stand and as we sing?